My guess is you've probably been at some event in your life where you've had to have a name tag on so people know who you are. If you're at an event and you saw someone with the name Donald on it, even though you're seeing that person, my guess is that name might evoke some other Donalds in your life. Some of you might think of President Donald Trump. That might be the most famous Donald that we probably all know of. But Donald Duck might not be far behind as another Donald that a lot of us are aware of. Or maybe another Donald that you know of personally from your life. For me, that name makes me think of a deceased friend of my grandma. And this Don was like family to us before he passed. He showed up at our family gatherings, and he even offered for me and Julia to stay at his place in Florida during our honeymoon. So he holds a special place in our hearts because of that. But here's the thing. A name tag only tells you so much about a person. I mean, it gives you a name. It gives you a word. It gives you information. But it doesn't tell you their whole story. It doesn't tell you their character. It doesn't tell you their struggles. It doesn't tell you the kind of person they are. To really know someone, you need more than just a name. You need a relationship with that person. You need time spent with them. You need to be with people who know them. And sometimes we can approach God in a similar way. We can often reduce God to just a name, or to just words on a page. We can make assumptions about God based on what we've heard. We can treat God's word as it's just simply information. It's just information about God. But 1 Samuel 3 shows us something a little bit different. God is not merely information. God is not just a voice speaking from a distance. God is personal. As we see in 1 Samuel 3, God calls Samuel by name. He reveals himself to Samuel. He makes himself known. So as much as God is personal, what we also see in 1 Samuel 3 is that God is not private. You might be tempted to believe that God's only encountered through information. You've heard the Bible, you've heard about God, but he still seems distant. Maybe he just seems like an idea or a belief to hold to. Or maybe you do believe there's more to God than that he's just information, that he's more than just words on the page, that he's more than just an idea. Maybe you do believe that he is a person, that he is someone to encounter, and that he's someone to actually know, and someone who can actually know me and know you personally. But maybe you struggle to encounter God that way. You hear about people in the Bible like Abraham and Moses and David and Paul, people who've encountered God personally, but you're like, not me, not that way. You wonder, does God still speak like that to people today? You've had moments where you wondered, is that God? Is that God leading me? Is that God speaking to me? But you're not always sure. You're not always able to clearly make out what he's saying. We live in a culture steeped in individualism, a culture that pulls us toward a faith that is individualistic or private. And when our culture ties the two together, personal and private, we can start trying to make sense of God all by ourselves. We end up believing that a personal relationship with God is a private relationship with God. But God's word exposes that lie, that a personal relationship with God is private. We see that here in 1 Samuel 3. Actually, it was never meant to be private, especially if you want to truly know God. 1 Samuel offers us the good news that God isn't just an idea. He's not just information for us to consume and analyze. God is relational. God is personal. And he wants to personally know each and every one of us. God doesn't just give you a word. He gives you himself. God doesn't just give you a word. He gives you himself. And what we encounter in 1 Samuel 3 is that God makes himself personally known to Samuel and to each one of us. But Samuel needs someone to help him see God. Samuel needs Eli to make sense of God's presence in his life. He needs Eli to help him recognize the voice of the Lord. Samuel doesn't discover God on his own, and neither do we. And that's good news, which might seem odd to say, because God never intended you to spend your life trying to figure out God by yourself. The God who calls you by name also gives you his word, his people, and his presence so that you might come to know him better. In 1 Samuel 3, Samuel hears from God, but he doesn't know that it's God. He doesn't know what God is trying to tell him. He needs the people of God to help him understand what God is doing in his life. And the same is true for us. God was personally communicating with Samuel, but on his own, privately, Samuel didn't know who was speaking to him or what to make sense of the voice that he was hearing. And maybe you felt that way too, wondering, God, are you speaking? What are you doing in my life? What are you trying to say? The good news is that God doesn't leave his people alone in the dark. That's the good news. He speaks, he calls, and he patiently teaches us to recognize his voice together with others. 1 Samuel 3 helps us understand that God is personal, but not private. God wants to know us personally, and he invites us to know him personally. But that's not something he intended for us to do alone. Because God doesn't just give us a word, he actually gives us himself. And we need the people God gathers around us to help us know him more deeply. The God who gives himself invites us to become servants who listen to him and help each other encounter what he's speaking to us. Samuel needed Eli, and one day others would need Samuel as well. That's how we see this progression unfold in this passage. That's how God works. He invites us to become servants who listen and help others encounter him, just like they help us to encounter God. God is personal, but God is not private. Have you ever been around a raffle drawing when the winning numbers are called? I mean, everybody's standing at attention, holding their numbers, listening, you know, going through all the numbers, making sure that there's match. And when the winning number finally is all the way red, everybody's kind of like looking around, like, who's finally going to be like, that's me. And it's all the more awkward when nobody calls out, right? Because you're like, where'd they go? How are they not here for this moment? Like, I'll take it. It's my number. You're tempted to almost stand up and say that, right? But winning that prize depends on hearing what's called, understanding what's called, and then responding to what was called. We encounter this kind of situation in 1 Samuel 3. Verse 1 gives us some helpful context for Samuel's life and for the life of Israel during this time. Samuel was born because God acted on behalf of his mother Hannah, which you can read about in the first two chapters of Samuel, which we've already looked at. And part of Hannah's prayer was that, God, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back in service to you. And that's where 1 Samuel 3 picks up. Samuel is ministering before the Lord under Eli the priest at the tabernacle in Shiloh. And we're told in those days the word of the Lord was rare. That's what the first verse tells us. That's something I think we're supposed to pay attention to because it sets a context or a tone for the rest of this passage. Throughout Israel's history, their life was dependent on God showing up, especially his word showing up in their life. As we look throughout Israel's history, nothing happens if God's word doesn't show up in their life. They don't leave Egypt in slavery. They don't go through the Red Sea. They don't get provided for in the desert. Their life depends on God doing or not doing things in their life. And as we'll see in Samuel's experience, knowing that God is speaking is something that also still matters. Knowing that God is speaking and knowing what God is saying are crucial for living within the presence and purposes of God. For Samuel, his growth and his future are tied to hearing God and responding to what God says. Have you ever been somewhere and someone calls out your name or at least a name that sounds like yours? And immediately you're like, who said that? until you finally have that awkward realization of, oh, they're talking about that person over there, not me. And you might even be the person who responds and you're like even more awkwardly like, oh, you weren't talking to me. But that's a very similar experience to what Samuel encounters here in verses 2 through 5. It's nighttime. Samuel is lying down in the tabernacle. And then Samuel hears his name. Samuel. Samuel. And like most of us would, he replies, "Here am I," as if someone's just calling his name from somewhere. Then he runs to Eli, who is possibly the only other person in the tabernacle at this time, so it makes sense that that's where he would go. And he says, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli replies, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Again, that awkward feeling of, oh, I heard wrong here. But that's where we find Samuel. And this happens two more times, and each time it isn't Eli that's calling him. And Samuel is left wondering, what am I hearing? And after the third time, Eli realizes what's happening. The Lord is personally calling out to Samuel. But like some of you right now, like all of us at one time, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That's what the text tells us in verse 7. And at first we might think, well, of course Samuel knew the Lord. He lived in the tabernacle. He spent most of his life around the presence of God. How did he not know God? But it seems Samuel knew about God without yet knowing God personally. Many of you can remember that moment in your own life, that moment when you went from just knowing about God to actually knowing God. As we have seen throughout this whole entire story so far, Eli has his faults. But Eli did have a history of hearing and responding to God's revelation. And he had enough experience to help Samuel to recognize and respond to the word of the Lord calling out to him. The word of the Lord came personally to Samuel, but Samuel needed Eli to recognize that word that was coming from the Lord. Have you ever been there? Wondering if what you're sensing is from the Lord? That's where Samuel was. And Eli had the privilege of helping him encounter the Lord personally. And all of us have that same opportunity as people who've come to know the Lord through his son Jesus. We get to help others recognize his voice and personally encounter him as well. The word of the Lord wasn't something Samuel could simply encounter and make sense of in private. So Eli tells Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" We see that in verse 9. Notice that Samuel is told to receive and respond as a servant. Because while God is communicating with Samuel personally, this isn't merely a word for Samuel's private benefit. But I think we're often tempted to think that's how God speaks with us. It's about us, and he's just kind of part of our life. No, no, no. It's God's story, and we're a part of his story. Because there's something much deeper happening with Samuel here. The Lord is encountering Samuel, and Samuel is encountering the Lord. This word has more to do with God's public story than Samuel's private story. But God's public story makes room for Samuel's personal story. And that's good news for all of us because our private personal story is part of God's public story as well. Samuel's encounter with God matters, and as we'll see in a moment, and we'll see that also throughout the rest of 1 Samuel, we see that God is personal, but not private. Many people know C.S. Lewis for his writing, his defense of the Christian faith, his captivating stories like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or characters like Aslan and Prince Caspian. Lewis had a remarkable ability to pull readers into a world where God is deeply present, whether in real life or in fictional stories. But Lewis wasn't always captivated by a world where Jesus is Lord, which might seem hard for us to imagine that now, knowing all that he's written. Before Lewis became the writer we know today, before he became a defender of the Christian faith, he struggled to believe in God, specifically to believe and to be convinced that God is revealed in the life of Jesus, that Jesus was the fullest revelation of God. That is, until two friends, Hugo Dyson and J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings, patiently and faithfully walked with Lewis through his questions about Christianity and faith and about Jesus and how Jesus revealed who God is. Later, Lewis wrote down, "Dyson and Tolkien were the immediate human causes of my own conversion." Tolkien and Dyson helped Lewis personally encounter the God revealed in Jesus. You see, Lewis didn't encounter God in private by himself. He encountered God with others. And Lewis' personal encounter with God didn't lead to a private faith. It led to a public faith that has helped countless people encounter the same God he encountered in Jesus. All because of the help of his friends. Looking back to Samuel, as Samuel came to recognize and make sense of God's word in his life, we see that in verses 11 through 18, Samuel's public personal encounter with God publicly impacts those around him. First, we see that it impacts the life of Eli. Samuel confirms God's word to Eli's family through his prophetic word that Samuel shares with him, that God's still bringing judgment, that God's still living and active in Israel, and he's bringing about what's best for them. But Samuel's personal encounter with God won't just impact Eli. It will also impact the entire nation of Israel. In verses 19 through 21, we're told that the Lord continues making himself known to Israel through the word he gives to Samuel. Again, Samuel's personal encounter with God doesn't just benefit Samuel. It benefits a whole nation. God is personal, but not private. In our digital age, most of us have probably done this at one point or another. We've either typed or spoken to our phone our symptoms into a search bar or a chat service of some kind, like ChatGPT, wondering if the symptoms we have are leading to all these things that come up in the search. Well, maybe I have this disease. Maybe I have this disease. I don't know. I have like 30 days to live. I got to act now. And that's the track we can head down, right? The idea is that we want immediate information, and we want it to personally deal with our private situation. But most of us know the difference between reading about a condition online and sitting down with a medical doctor who can actually make sense of what we're experiencing. Someone who has a different perspective who can say, here's what I think is actually going on. You're not going to die in 30 days. It's probably just like a rash or something, right? Like that kind of a thing. The reality is we can do the very same thing with our faith. We want a personal encounter with God, but we want it to stay private. We want to figure out God all on our own. And yet 1 Samuel 3 helps us see that personally encountering God was never meant to happen privately. Samuel needed Eli, and we also need others who can help give us a different perspective of what God is doing in our life and what God is doing and how God looks like the life of Jesus. Throughout the Bible, we constantly see that personally encountering God happened within the context of relationship. And ultimately, we see that it happens within the relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the one who helps us do. Jesus is the one who helps do more to show us who God is. He doesn't just show us about God. He actually shows us God in flesh. He helps us know God personally. As John 1 tells us, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And Colossians 1 tells us that he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the fullest experience of God that we have. Jesus helps us know God personally. And as Romans 8 reminds us, the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is also the same Spirit of God who is living in us who follow him and intercedes for us with the Father to help us know who God is each and every day. But Jesus always calls us to extend our encounter with God too, beyond ourselves, beyond our private lives, and into the world to make disciples of all nations, as Matthew 28 tells us. Yes, you see, God is personal, but never private. God is personal, but not private. Stanley Hauerwas, whom Time magazine in 2001 named as America's best theologian, when asked how to explain what being a Christian is all about, he replied, "Join me in praying how Jesus taught us to pray." It might sound like an odd response, but what he's doing there is not telling someone about God. Rather, he's inviting them into an experience to actually encounter God by praying to Jesus, as Jesus taught us. It's something that has to be done with someone else. That's what he was doing. So as you reflect on 1 Samuel 3, ask yourself, what are you hearing? Are you hearing God's word? Are you hearing God's voice? Are you trying to discern God's word all by yourself or with others? Are you seeking to know about God, or do you actually want to know who God is? How might God be calling you to know him as your creator, as your Lord, as his child, as a person he loves and for whom he has a greater life in store? God is personal, but not private. If you're here today and you know about God, but you don't truly know him, if you've never encountered him through Jesus, then I invite you to do what Samuel did. Come to the Lord in the posture of a servant. Ask him to speak, and then listen and follow his word. Follow Jesus, the clearest revelation of God ever given. If you'd like to take a step toward knowing God, please find me or another trusted follower of Jesus, and we'd be glad to help you continue to seek God by following Jesus. Not doing that on your own, but with someone else. Expressing your faith in baptism and identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection, and beginning to truly know the Lord by following Jesus. And if you've already expressed your faith in Jesus, if you've already been baptized, then I invite you to respond like Samuel, asking yourself, am I seeking to know God or merely about God? Have I personally encountered God by keeping my faith private? Am I seeking to know God with others? Do I have a space in my life where I do that? Maybe God's inviting you to meet with him more consistently, to place yourself in greater proximity to his word, to respond to the word he's already spoken through Jesus. Often we're thinking, well, what did God actually tell us? Is God speaking to me? He told us a lot of stuff already, if we would at least pay attention to it to begin with. Maybe God's inviting you to gather more consistently with his people, the body of Christ, to help you discern what he's already said and what he continues to say and where he's leading you. Maybe God's inviting you to regularly gather with other followers of Jesus to honestly and vulnerably share your life, to say, I think God might be saying this to me. Can you help me discern if that's true? Does it match the life of Jesus and the things Jesus would call us to? And then humbly receive the wisdom of others who also love Jesus. Because as followers of Jesus, we've been called to a different way of life. We've been called to a faith that is personal, but not private. As much as our culture might tempt us to think that's what it should be. But we've been called to an uncommon presence with each other, to make space for each other in our lives. We've been called to live out faith in Jesus alongside those who know him and to help others come to know him too. And maybe that's what God is calling you toward today. A shift in how you think about following Jesus. A willingness to sacrificially give your time, your energy, and your resources so that God's word and God's people can speak into your life. And so that you might be present with those who are still learning to recognize his voice. If we're never around those people, we're never there to help them recognize it. Those who are still asking, is God speaking? How do I know him? How do I encounter him personally? The God who speaks invites us to become servants who listen and help others encounter him. Because God is personal, but not private. Would you join me in prayer as we close? Father God, thank you that you have shown us who you truly are through your son Jesus. And that it's possible to actually know you. As we follow you, as we surrender to you as servants, And as we express faith in you and our surrender to you in baptism, identifying with you, you place your spirit within us, and you know us, we know you. There's an exchange there beyond anything we can do by ourselves. Thank you that you've provided this community to help us discern what you're doing in our life as well. Thank you that we're part of the body of Christ and that we alone are not the body. Thank you that, Jesus, you are the head that leads us to where we truly need to go. Father, help us to not do life with you alone, but to do it with others. To know that we're not alone, that we're surrounded by your family, your children, our brothers and sisters in you. Father, help us to know how to respond to your word today. Help us to be grateful that we can have a personal relationship with you, but you also call us to extend that out to others and help others to counter you as well. It's by the power of your Spirit and through your Son, Jesus, we pray this. Amen.